I'm Christopher Springman. You're listening to Body Language on Radio MD. Did you ever pick up a metal frying pan handle without first checking to see if it was hot? Burned your little fingers and hand, didn't you? And chances are, you probably won't do that again. At least not without a mitten, a pot holder, a towel, or something. There are a lot of simple truths in the world like that. For example, handling firearms. Rule one is, all guns are loaded, period. For example, you've just cleaned a pistol, put it away in the gun safe, locked the door, okay. But even if you pull it out a 2 milliseconds later, you handle that weapon like it's loaded every time. In broadcasting, there's a rule 1-2. All mics are live, period. Much as there are graveyards full of people who forgot rule 1 with firearms, there are unemployment lines of former talk show hosts who ignored the microphone law. Which brings us to words you shouldn't say on the radio, at least the public airwaves. It's a short list. There's the F-bomb, an expensive mistake, well, unless you're an award winner at the Oscars, Grammys, or MTV show. Then there's the N-bomb, which was a recent career changer for Dr. Loro, who bailed from the surveillance of the FCC and is now on Sirius XM. But then there's the A-bomb, or the A-word, a talk show staple along with capital punishment, health care for illegal immigrants, euthanasia, liver transplants for alcoholic prisoners on death row, legalizing pot, death panels, smoking in public, you know, big hot-button issues, real table pounders that light up the phones and make the hour go by real fast on talk radio. Let's get back to the A-bomb. If you haven't guessed, that's A as in abortion. Fair and balanced? No. The word is locked and loaded. Everyone's polarized and backs into their respective corners and hunkers down. We don't use the word abortion on our shows, and that was a conscious choice. That's our rule one. My rule one choice was informed by an experience I had 25 years ago, shortly after I willingly, even enthusiastically, participated in the conception of our daughter. Christopher Springman. And you, you're at the crossroads of life, love, and health. Here's the backstory. I was photographing a laser scientist at Caltech for Smithsonian Magazine. His name was Seth, and unbeknownst to me, he was a very conservative Orthodox Jew, a Talmudic scholar, and Socratic questioner. In my usual charming, naive innocence, I walked into an ethical, religious, cultural, and ethnic buzzsaw that left me speechless. Yeah, I know, that's hard to believe. As we talk, Seth and I discovered that both of our wives were pregnant. So I asked him, oh, did your wife have an amniocentesis? An amniocentesis and chorionic villus sampling are two prenatal tests that can determine fetal abnormalities in utero, such as the presence of an extra copy of chromosome 21 called a trisome. That's the marker for Down syndrome. So I asked Seth about the amnio, and he answered my question with one of his own. So why would we do that? Well, I said, you can gather valuable information. Okay, what kind of information, he inquired. Well, I said, you could learn of a genetic abnormality like Down syndrome. And Seth continued thoughtfully and said, what would we do with that information? Well, I suggested, you might decide to terminate the pregnancy. He looked at me and nodded and said, kill the baby, right? Hey, that's not what I said. No, Seth countered, but that's what you meant. I was totally unprepared and blown away by his response, but he decided to give me a break, saying, look, as an Orthodox Jew, a child is a gift from God, a blessing, a mitzvah, and you take what you get and love what you have. And besides, he said, considering our people's relationship with the Holocaust, killing babies and limiting the number of children we have, that just doesn't apply to us. Now, was he wrong and I was right? No. Right or wrong, fair and balanced, is all relative as to what you believe, and that's determined by your culture, ethnicity, age, gender, religion, national origin, education, economic status, goals, dreams, aspirations, and needs. All those filters in your head, that information is processed through. So that's why we don't go for the A-bomb, because it doesn't get us anywhere we want to go. Instead, we do stories on mindful birth control, family planning, advocate prenatal and genetic testing, knowing your family medical history, especially the genetic side with conditions like BRCA1 and 2, Tay-Sachs, sickle cell, Gaucher. I also know that 90% of people who discover they have a trisome, 21, interrupt the pregnancy. It's a difficult decision, and you have the rest of your life to consider the consequences. That's okay for people who make those decisions, because I believe that people are autonomous and should make a conscious, mindful, deliberate decision to go into a pregnancy, learn as much as possible, and then make informed choices. That brings me back to rule one for firearms, microphones, and the A-bomb word, and being a talk show host. Be careful, very careful, when you think about pulling the trigger, running your mouth off, and inviting folks to help you get through the hour with little or no work. In all three cases, the life and career you save may just be your own. As one cynical talk show host said, after all is done and said, more is said and done. There's more heat than light. You know what? I disagree. For people like you, at the crossroads of life, love, and health, who believe that emotional maturity is an essential component of making good choices and decisions, well, that's when a lot of good gets done. I'm Christopher Springman, and thanks for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health, Crossroads.
Life.
Love. And health.
You've heard of the Sun Belt and the Rust Belt, but is there really a kidney stone belt? It's all about life, love, and health.
If you live in a chronically hot environment, you sweat more, and presuming you ingest roughly the same amount of fluid as someone who lives in the northern climate, you're just not going to produce as much urine. So the incidence of stones is definitely higher in warmer climates than it is in colder climates.
It's National Kidney Health Month, and wherever you live, urologist Dr. Glenn Gerber has some great advice for avoiding this painful problem.
The single best thing that anybody can do to avoid stones or to prevent them is to drink more fluid. Essentially, the more urine someone makes, the less likely they are to form stones. Kidney stones form from crystals that are in the urine. All of us have the crystals in our urine. When someone is relatively dehydrated, the crystals tend to come out of solution, and they stick together, much like snowflakes might stick together to form a snowball, and that's the beginnings of a stone. Interestingly, lemonade actually seems to lower the risk of stones. So oftentimes we'll tell people to drink more fluid, but specifically to drink lemonade. On the other hand, teas tend to contain a lot of what's called oxalate, and oxalate complexes with calcium, and that's one of the most common types of stones.
Learn more about preventing kidney stones and other kidney problems by visiting the American Urological Association Foundation's website at urologyhealth.org. I'm Allison Ewing, and it's all about life, love, and health.